Information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Dan Mandis Show, Super Talk 99.7.
12:05 on Super Talk 99.7. WTN, Dan Mandis Show. Check, check, 1, 2. This thing working? Good God.
No, are you working?
Sadly, yes. I couldn't stay home any longer. Can I just say that the last 4 days have been the absolute worst 4 days of my entire life? That influenza A that I had, oh my Lord, that thing is horrific.
Mm-hmm.
I have spent 4 days cooped up, with the exception of about 45 minutes at the doctor's office, absolutely cooped up in my home.
You know, most of us are not really happy about, we love you, but we're not really happy about you being back today.
I'm fine. Yeah, I no longer have a fever. I'm fine.
It's not just fever that makes you contagious, is it?
Yeah, that's what the doctor said. I have full coverage to come back today. It's
so
all good and well.
The doctor did say, as long as you don't have a fever, you're not contagious.
Yes, that's
exactly
right.
I'm just making sure. I'm sorry I'm being a little obsessive about it.
Is this why everybody, when they come to my office, they're holding their arm up to their mouth and everything?
We don't want to breathe it.
See, that's not very nice.
It's not very nice for you to spread your germs.
I thought that I would get a welcome back from everyone, and no, everybody's telling me to go home. Mm-hmm. Which is all fine and well.
I mean,
it's really no different than any other day, to be honest with you.
It's not like it's normally a Tuesday.
That's exactly right.
But no, so yeah, I mean, it's not that we don't love you at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's
just go home.
Go home.
I feel great. Listen,
you remember that time that I got really, really upset at somebody who was working in this building that said, I got strep throat. The doctor gave me a shot today. I'm coming on into work. And I threw a fit. It's like, don't you dare come in here.
Yeah, but I've been gone for, 3-4 days now, and I no longer have the fever. I still am suffering some of the ramifications from my influenza A, which, by the way, I know that we all sing the praises of LT360,
mm-hmm.
but influenza A, I've lost like 6 pounds in 4 days. So listen, if you want to
lose
weight fast, come let me, breathe on you or something.
Get influenza A.
Just come get influenza A from
yours
truly.
How many are there? If there's an A, is there a B and a C and a D?
I think there is a B. I'm just not exactly sure how bad it is, but I'm reasonably certain that I had the bad one. And the fact that I didn't know this was coming, usually there's some sort of an indication that you're getting sick. But I don't know, Pamela, if you remember Monday, but I knew that something in the middle of my Nashville show was a little bit amiss. But I had an afternoon show in Dallas, and so by about 5:30, I knew that something was terribly wrong.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I got through the last 90 minutes of that show. I don't even want to know what I said, because it could not have been pretty. And by the time...
Or coherent.
But again, it's like any other day.
It's like a Tuesday. Well, anyway, are you about to cough? See,
no.
I can hear that congestion in your chest.
You know what? And I haven't even had my 2 packs of cigs today. And I've just got that whole thing going on.
That's funny.
No.
I was feeling sick Monday. Actually, I was feeling sick Sunday and even sent you a text going, I don't know, something's coming on. And you're like, are you calling in sick or what?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, not yet. I'm just telling you, there's something up.
Right.
And then Monday, it's like, oh, God, this is getting worse and worse and worse. And then so Tuesday, when I called in sick, you're like, okay, fine. And then the next thing you know, I'm getting a text from you going, oh, God, I just threw up. You're welcome. But I'm calling in sick myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
So two of us were out at the same time.
Well, listen, let me tell
you. Which never happens.
You know the thing that sucks about living by yourself, right? I didn't know this was coming. By the end of the third day, I ran out of toilet paper. Can I say that on the air?
Well, I've talked about your vomit, so I guess you can.
Oh, my Lord.
Wait, you know that Kroger will deliver, or somebody will deliver. You can Uber. You can do an Uber.
Could I have
delivery?
Called an Uber to deliver toilet paper to my house? Oh,
no,
my
Amazon
Lord.
Prime can do it.
Really?
Yes, if you order Amazon Prime.
Remember a while back we talked about having drones come in and deliver
mm-hmm,
stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this would be a good reason to have drones deliver. So
I'm assuming you found a friend to deliver toilet paper to you?
I had to venture out. It's when I went to the doctor and I just had to. It's amazing how you
get your Theraflu and your toilet paper.
Your friends just kind of scatter when you've got influenza A, as a matter of fact. So
If you have anybody that like brings you chicken soup or something,
yeah.
I could see you just, you have them poke their hand in, or I've had people just put it there at the door, ring the doorbell and leave.
Yeah.
That way they don't get it. But they're still being considerate by bringing me food.
You know what? I felt weird. Is it just me? I felt weird asking people, hey, can you bring me some toilet paper? I felt awkward about asking
that. Well, it depends on how close the friend is.
You know what? There's not a friend that close that I would ask, hey, can you bring me some toilet paper? What would you have said if I said, hey, Pamela, can you stop by and bring me some toilet paper? What would you have said?
I would have posted the text on Facebook.
Of course you would have. That's why I didn't ask you for toilet paper.
And then I would have said, okay, you need anything else? I would have done it, but I would have made fun of you.
You would have said single ply or double ply. You know what? You would have gotten me single ply just because you're mean.
No, I would have gotten you Charmin.
Charmin?
So you could squeeze it.
Squeezably soft? Oh, my Lord. Anyway, yeah. So, you know, I'll tell you what. I haven't been this sick in, I can't tell you how long. It was just the worst thing I've ever felt. I think I read that somebody actually died from influenza A.
Which I hadn't, you said recently, and I'm telling you, I haven't heard that, but I'm going to look it up now that we're talking about it again.
I think I saw something somewhere that somebody died recently of this thing that I have or had. And by the way, I'm getting all kinds of notes from people. No, once your fever is broken, you are no longer contagious.
Okay.
So I'm just saying.
I still don't want to take a chance. Here's the other thing, too, that I was, well, see, the thought just went out of my head. Sorry. We were just talking about it, and it just left me.
Well, you know, so far we've talked about one ply versus two ply.
Right.
We've talked about, which was, I'm sure, a fascinating discussion. Also, I don't know what we were talking about. Well, just so everybody knows, I am also having a hard time tracking just because earlier today, just so you know, even though I don't have a fever, I am dizzy.
A 20-year-old Arizona mother died just days after she was diagnosed with the flu.
Yeah.
Though her death is tragic, it's thankfully rare among influenza patients, according to reports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm telling you,
and
people are dying
from this.
This
happened November the 28th.
Yeah.
Not people.
One person.
Listen, Mr.
When you're
Drama.
Afflicted with when you're afflicted with influenza A, it's you read that kind of thing, and then all of a sudden,
I know what I wanted to ask.
What?
Did we ever figure out the saying? Is it feed a fever, starve a cold, or starve a fever, feed a cold?
I don't know, and neither one of us. I was in so much pain it literally hurt me to send text messages.
And I'm going. You know, you're supposed to feed a fever, starve a cold, or
it's
is
feed
it
feed a fever and feed a cold?
Just feed it. Just eat.
Just feed.
Just keep eating until you're happy.
Thank you, Belle. It must be Taco Tuesday.
Or in a sugar coma.
Belle, is it? And it's also going to be tacos from San Antonio Tacos whenever you feed that fever or feed a cold or whatever it is?
If the PD's buying, it will be.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, hold up. It's starve a fever, feed a cold.
Starve a fever, feed a cold. Wait a minute. I had both. So what am I supposed to do? Because I had a horrific fever. And I had a bad cold because I had influenza A, and anything that I would eat would go right through me.
So influenza A is a cold also?
Is a flu the cold?
No, it is not.
Oh, for the love of Pete.
It's
no wonder I get sick.
Separate.
Is it really?
Yes.
So isn't a flu just a worse case of a cold?
No.
Oh, it's not?
No.
I didn't know that.
It's completely different.
Okay. Not that I could have prevented either one with what happened to me, but whatever. I honestly did not know that. What's the difference between a flu and a cold?
One is a virus and one is not.
Okay. You know, my mom was a nurse. You'd think that I'd know all these things.
Right?
But all right, very good. Well, either way.
I mean, I guess. Hold on. I mean, now you're asking me. Common cold is what? I mean, in contrast to the flu, a common cold can be caused by many different types of viruses. The condition is usually harmless and symptoms usually resolve within 2 weeks.
Now, here's the thing is when I first posted that I had the influenza A, I had people asking me, okay, so did you get the flu shot? Well, no, I did not get the flu shot. And I felt, you know, yay big because I didn't get the flu shot, neener, neener, neener. And then I, of course, got the flu. But it turns out that apparently this year's flu shot, and this is no offense to people that got the flu shot, but that only helped in, what, 10% of the time or something like that?
Yes,
so,
correct. Yeah, we did a story on it one of those days, I think, that you were out. Or did you, or was it the one day you were here y'all talked about it?
It wasn't when I was here. Because I would have been the snarky person. I think, you know what, I may have talked about that, actually.
I think you did.
Yeah.
I think you did.
And I think I remember saying something to the effect of, yeah, I never get sick. And then it was just right after that where I just, man, I just went downhill fast.
Yeah, but if it's only 10% effective. Yeah, here we go. Flu vaccine may be only 10% effective this year, experts say. So if that's the case, then why, you know, and plus the flu shot doesn't prevent you from getting the flu.
Correct.
It just makes it less painful, I guess.
I've never done the flu shot.
I've done it a couple of times, but for whatever reason, my gut told me this year, don't do it. My family, they swear by it. Get your flu shot, get your flu shot, get your flu shot.
Right.
And so my dad actually was driving me to the drugstore and said, get your flu shot. I had to go, Dad, I'm a grown woman. I said no. So I did not get it, and I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah, I guess you could say, what harm does it do to get the flu shot?
Well, you're putting the flu virus into your body.
I know, that's what was...
Some people get the flu after getting the flu shot.
That was going to be my next statement, which was, there's some people that do say, what's it going to hurt? And that was going to be the answer.
I apologize.
Now, here's the other thing that's interesting about this, and I very briefly mentioned this a second ago. Even though I feel fine, my voice is weak, I'm dizzy. And I don't know why that is. So every once in a while, if you hear this...
That's because you fainted?
You know that I've fallen over. That'll be my head hitting the console.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I'm getting all these text messages from people who said they'd bring me toilet paper if I asked.
See, I have no friends.
Aww.
Not
my
one person.
My phone's blowing up.
I bet you Bell would say he would bring me toilet paper as long as I bought him San Antonio tacos.
Hey, I've had a 100-plus degree fever for the last 2 days, so you ain't getting no sympathy out of me, mister.
Oh, my gosh, this is just funny.
I don't know why it's so funny.
Well, here's the only thing. First of all, you've had a fever for how many days, and how high did the fever get?
Oh, I think it was up to about 102.
All right, so what kind of, have you eaten any food at all?
Yes.
Junk food or something good? Be honest.
Oh, today I had my Tamiflu, and
that's not food.
Oh.
I had cheese and some nuts.
Okay, cheese and nuts.
Yes.
And what did you have yesterday?
Some scrambled eggs.
Smoke a seltzer.
Yeah. See this scrambled eggs.
Dayquil, actually Nyquil. I had Dayquil for breakfast and Nyquil for dinner.
And your Theraflu.
And my Theraflu.
All right, but I think. Honestly, I don't think you've eaten enough. You don't have enough nutrients in your body.
Oh, I also had an apple.
I think you haven't had enough calories in the last couple of days, and you haven't had enough nutrients. So I would suggest, if you can't, you don't feel like eating, and you can't keep anything down, I personally would suggest maybe making some sort of protein shake or buy a pre-made one that doesn't have a lot of sugar in it. Right. But make something and get those nutrients in there. That's why you're feeling dizzy.
Has anybody else had this? And I would be curious. Hey, Belle.
Try to suck down some vitamins or something. But
hey Belle, you're going to hate me for this. But one of the things, when I went into the doctor, they said, okay, so we're going to give you this Tamiflu. I said, okay, fine. There's one big side effect of the Tamiflu. And I said, okay, what is it? Well, you're going to have really weird, vivid dreams. Now, I don't know if anybody else has had this happen.
I have.
Okay. Because of Tamiflu?
Well, when I was taking it,
I have had the weirdest dreams. I had one dream.
Do we want
to
know?
Like, probably not, because this might paint a visual. But right after I got the Tamiflu, I went home, I took the Tamiflu, I took the NyQuil, and I was out. I started, indeed, having the weird dreams. Now, for the record, I almost never remember my dreams. Almost never. So I go to sleep, and at some point during my slumber, I am in a park strolling around naked. Now, it's all fine and well because there's nobody else in the park, although I'm... And by the way...
But you said this was dreams, not memories.
And so, now you also got to realize that I'm the guy that won't pee off a porch, right?
So, this is a big deal. For
me, walking around naked in a park in the woods is a little weird and very out of character. So, I realize, though, in my dream, everything's fine. It's like Garden of Eden. I'm okay. I'm the only one here, and there's no problem at all. Then I turn to my right as I'm walking naked in this park, and then I suddenly realize that I'm in some sort of a big family park, and I'm walking naked in this park.
So you're a perv.
I don't know what I was, but it was certainly odd.
Were children screaming?
out of a job in 20 years.
Yeah. I don't know, because that in and of itself horrified me so much that I woke right up. But it's just the strangest thing, because, again, I never have those kinds of dreams.
Hmm.
And I certainly don't have dreams that are like that. Sometimes I'll have dreams that are, you know, more like nightmares, like work-related dreams and that kind of thing. But for the most part, I don't have dreams like that. So I've been having just the strangest dreams.
You said work-related dreams. Have you ever had, I'm sorry, I apologize, but have you ever had the dream, since you've been in radio as long as I have, that the cart runs out? And you're down the hall.
Everybody has.
And
that
you're
dream.
Running slow. Oh no! And you run. This is your dream. And then, as you're grabbing another cart to put in the cart machine, all the carts come crashing down. That's been a nightmare of mine for 30 years.
Everybody has their variation of that dream.
Yeah,
if you've been
we all do.
Or
we.
No.
Or we have.
Dead air.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do we all? We have all had the variations of the dead air dream. Mm-hmm. Sure. If you're in radio and computers locking up, I mean, I'm sure that that would be one that Bella's had on a number.
That would be our actual reality.
That would be our. That happened this morning with our great new automation system. How much did we pay for this thing anyway? All of a sudden, the thing just goes boop and it's gone. Anyway, so but I'm feeling better. Thank you very much for the warm welcome back that I received today from everyone. Staying completely away from my side of the building, and I actually don't take offense at all. It is 1221 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. I think you're right. Maybe I'm going to go try and eat something here during the break, because I am a little loopy.
Yeah, serious. I'm not joking. And if we need to get something delivered to you, or, you know, something that you can keep down.
Uber really? Lyft does deliver San Antonio Taco.
I may have some vitamin C in my car. After the news, I can go get you some if you can.
Okay.
You, do you think you
sure.
can keep that down?
I'm fine.
I'm dead serious about the vitamins and the nutrients. I think that's why.
You know what I think
way.
The problem is? I haven't had coffee in 4 days.
So you're also on a caffeine-free.
Yes.
But the cool thing is you've been medicated and sick, so your body, you haven't had the caffeine-free headache yet, or you probably have, but didn't notice it because you had the flu.
Oh, my gosh. I've had major headaches. Maybe that's why.
That's why.
I thought that was okay.
So you're going through the withdrawal of caffeine also.
Yeah.
On top of the flu.
Well, maybe I will take your vitamin C, and I'll try.
I'll go get it after the newscast.
I'm going to get through today. It's going to be fine. It's all good and well. In fact, I have another show after this. I figured, you know, at some point.
Wait, you're doing two shows today? Have you lost your mind?
My ever-loving mind? Yes, I have.
Bless your heart.
Listen, when I go back in, you know,
you
full
go
bore.
Big.
Yeah, I'm doing a cannonball right back into the pool. So
right.
Anyway, 1222 on
You're
Super
crazy.
Talk 99. I know I'm crazy. On Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Dan Mandy Shows.
I'm Pamela Furr. Coming up, the latest on the allegations against Roy Moore in Alabama. It's coming up at 1230 on WTN. I'm spacing out here. What's going on?
I don't know. 1228 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. I've been sick. Why are you spacing out?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
All right. Very good.
Weirdness
well,
here.
All right. Very good. Well, coming up in the next hour, we're going to, and Pamela, I know you're going to have some of the sound bites of that story of Roy Moore and these accusations against him. But it is amazing the difference in tenor between when this woman came out and she had this yearbook and she had all these accusations against Roy Moore, and she said, this is what happened, this is what happened, this is what happened. And then Moore's camp comes out and they say, okay, well, then let us see the yearbook. And it took Gloria Allred how long before she finally said, well, we'll do that in the midst of an investigation or in the midst of a hearing. Turns out now, as you're about to report, and you have been accurately reporting, that some of those lines in that yearbook that Roy Moore signed with that woman, she herself wrote those lines. You could say they're forgery. You could say that she added some notes. That's all up for discussion. But it was part of a longer interview. But I think that it's not only what was said, but also was not said within that interview that you need to hear about and we will talk about, and that is coming up straight ahead right here on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Also, very quickly, I love this headline. Just the kind of headline you want to see on your first day back at work. Could Hillary Clinton actually face new charges based on what we're finding with this Robert Mueller investigation? Because now it's almost like the hunter is sort of becoming the hunted, in the sense that the more that Robert Mueller looks at the FBI, the more some folks are looking at the FBI. So there's a lot to talk about here, because the more that we look at the FBI and the more that we look at how they conducted themselves during the Hillary investigation, Now, the head of the FBI, Christopher Wray, is saying, you know what? We may want to revisit that whole Hillary Clinton decision. So I've got a lot of news to cover, and it's all straight ahead on WTN. WTN 1237 Super Talk 99.7 WTN Dan Mandis Show 615-737-9986 615-737-WWTN. So one of the biggest news stories, probably of the past couple of months, of course, has been this ongoing Roy Moore saga, and today is no exception. We all know the story of one Beverly Young Nelson. Now, she is somebody who accused Roy Moore way back when she was 16 years old of sexually assaulting her in his car, and as proof, she has this signature and this little message of Roy Moore in her yearbook. And we know we've spoken about this. I can't tell you how many times. And one of the things that I've been saying all along is, and this Roy Moore has been saying it as well, is, you know, show us the proof that this was not forged. And so now the woman has come out. And again, her name is Beverly Young Nelson. And this particular inscription in the yearbook was something of so much controversy. And the fact that they were taking this particular yearbook signature and trying to use it as proof that Roy Moore assaulted this woman in his car really made no sense whatsoever. So I guess there's a couple of things at play here. One is, and I'm going to play you some audio of a interview that she just gave with Gloria Allred, by the way, by her side, which is her attorney. So there you go. There's a lack of credibility right there. But a couple of things at play. One is, if you were somebody that thought that the signature in the yearbook was an indication or proof that Roy Moore attacked her in his car, well, then you probably don't care that she apparently, allegedly, well, no, she now admits it, that she forged part of this signature and part of this message on the yearbook. Then it doesn't matter to you because you're somebody who doesn't like Roy Moore and you don't believe anything that he has to say anyway. And generally speaking, he's a creeper. And more specifically, he's a child molester and a predator. So that doesn't matter. I think that the people who will look at this, such as yours truly, and will say, okay, well, what this does is this does damage the credibility of this accuser. Now, the fact that she may have written some notes, as she puts it, and again, I'm going to get into the details on this, but the fact that she says that she did add some notes to the yearbook's inscription, in and of itself, to me, does not dictate that she is necessarily lying about these accusations. However, the fact that she didn't mention that she added the notes initially when she and Gloria Allred were in front of all the media, when she had the opportunity to say, just so you know, I did add a couple of notes. She has stood silently for, what's this been? It's been 3-4 weeks now. The fact that she didn't mention it then, that is what destroys her credibility. If you feel like she had any credibility anyway. Now, you know where I stand on this. I don't feel like she has a whole ton of credibility, to be perfectly honest with you, because this has been something that, if it happened, 40 plus years ago, why didn't she say anything until now? But we've had those discussions. And frankly, for me, the Roy Moore conversation, it's been long dead, and I'm a little bored with it, to be perfectly honest. The people of Alabama are going to decide. However, given the fact that she is just now admitting that she did add notes, and she did so in the presence of her lawyer, tells you that something's up. Here's the other thing. Don't forget, and I covered this for you, that when all of this came down, Moore's attorney and Roy Moore himself, and I believe his wife and a lot of his supporters, came out and said, give us the yearbook. We want to have this thing analyzed by handwriting analysts and people who can analyze how old the ink is. I mean, it goes on and on. And even Gloria Allred said, well, no, we're not going to do that unless it's in the form of an investigation or some sort of a committee, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, they wanted this to go all the way towards a committee and an investigation. Ultimately, I don't think that Gloria Allred nor Beverly Young Nelson, I don't think they thought that it would get this far. I don't think that they were thinking that Moore would fight this as vociferously as he has. But he has decided now to do that. And as I said at the time, I think this is very smart for Moore to go for the jugular, because certainly we know that others are going for the jugular against him. So you can do one of two things. You can sort of apologize. You can sort of haphazardly say, well, yeah, it kind of sort of happened maybe, but I'm sorry. Or you can say, you know what? This didn't happen. And here's why it didn't happen. And where's the proof? And what proof do you have against me other than a yearbook? Again, if you're somebody who thought that a yearbook inscription is evidence that somebody attacked somebody else in a car, well, you've got a flipping screw loose. Now, again, and I always have to say the disclaimer, and it annoys the living you-know-what out of me, I do think it's creepy when a guy who's in his 30s is going for teenage girls. I'm not going to have that argument one more time. However, do I think that that justifies a guy losing his political career? No, of course not. Now, if the situation with the 14-year-old is true, then obviously that's a whole nother situation. Anyway, so let's find out what Beverly Young Nelson had to say. This is ABC News, and the anchor is a guy named Tony Lama.
It sickens me. It sickens me to wonder what may go on with him if he gets into office, maybe, you know. He could be doing this still. We don't know. And then again, I hope that he's changed.
This morning, Beverly Young Nelson, sitting down exclusively with GMA. She was 16 when she says Moore groped her and tried to force a sex act on her in his car.
He was trying to pull me toward, in between his legs. It was terrible.
Right.
And I was bound and determined that I was not going to be raped by him. You know, I was terrified. But the next thing I know, I'm on the concrete.
These allegations are completely false. They're malicious. Specifically, I do not know any of these women, nor have I ever engaged in sexual misconduct with any woman.
Moore's supporters have called Nelson a liar, even compared her to a criminal since she first spoke out about 3 weeks ago.
That really hurt me. You know, God knows, and Roy knows, and I know what happened.
Young's proof that she knew Moore, her yearbook with this inscription. But Moore and his supporters have called into question that inscription, noting the writing under the signature appears to be different.
Let's look at Beverly Nelson. Everybody knows her yearbook is a forgery.
Nelson says she did make notes to the inscription, but the message was all Roy Moore.
Beverly, he signed your yearbook.
He did sign it.
And you made some notes underneath.
Yes.
Nelson says this is not about politics. She voted for Donald Trump, but can't understand the decision some Republicans are making.
What do you think about the Republicans that say they believe people like you, but they'd rather have a Republican in that seat than a Democrat?
Is the party more important, really, than what happened? I feel like my incident is being just swept under the rug, literally, because he's a Republican.
Did I miss the part where she...
Now, Nelson's lawyer, Gloria Allred, says she's going to host a news conference later today to show further proof that Moore indeed knew his client. Roy Moore, for his part, has denied all accusations of sexual misconduct. Robin?
Did I?
Yeah, he glossed right over it. He asked her quick.
Where the hell did it go? Where's the outrage?
It was so fast.
Can you replay that? Pamela,
the clip. I mean, I had the small clip. If you want to see how fast okay, here you go.
Beverly, he signed your yearbook.
He did sign it.
And you made some notes underneath.
Yes.
And then that was it.
That's it? There's no follow-up?
Nope.
There's no, why didn't you say anything when you came out with these accusations in the first place?
Nope. Because had she said it then...
That's what I, well, you're out getting my vitamin C, but yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. That's what I said. If the crime here, and let's put crime in quotation marks, isn't the fact that she made the notes. The crime is the fact that she didn't mention it initially. She's only mentioning it now, four or five weeks, whatever it's been, since she made the announcement. Why didn't she say, oh, by the way, I included these notes in my own handwriting underneath his signature? But again, the whole thing just reminds me about how ridiculous this whole thing is because of the fact that there's a difference, a big difference, between knowing somebody and attacking someone in their car. But for the love of Pete, we've had that conversation ad nauseum now, so I'm a little tired of it. However, I think her credibility is blown. I mean, I really do, because of the fact that the other part of that is that she's got Gloria Allred, her attorney, right by her side. And wasn't the first thing, Pamela, that we said when this woman came forward was, well, Gloria Allred's her attorney. So does that in and of itself damage her credibility? And I do believe that it does.
Yeah,
but
we all said yes. Yeah.
Yeah, we did. So collectively, thousands of people that were listening also, I'm sure, agreed as well. So that's going to be the big question now is, will this do anything for the folks in Alabama to ultimately help them decide what they're going to vote for on Tuesday? Now, personally, I don't think this is going to help anyone decide either way. I think that for people who are supporters of Roy Moore, I think they'll say, well, aha, it's an aha moment for somebody like yours truly, who has been looking at this and saying, you know, looking at this and trying to figure out, okay, how do you, if somebody knows somebody, that doesn't necessarily mean that they are attacking them in a car. And of course, all of the other things that we've been saying about how do you answer accusations from 40 years ago, again, it goes on and on. So if you're a Roy Moore supporter, your mind's already made up. If you are a Roy Moore hater, your mind's already made up. And I don't know if there's anybody in the state of Alabama who has not made up their mind at this point about who they're going to vote for on the 12th, which is next Tuesday, I think, right? So for me, it's hard for me to believe that there's anybody whose mind is going to be changed by this.
I don't know.
You do have to wonder, though, how many people this puts back on the fence.
Correct.
How many people are going to go, well, why didn't she say that up front? Well, now I can't believe anything she's saying.
And then, and at this point, then you're back in Alabama going, I don't know what to do now. Because of this, I decided no Roy Moore. Now this, I guess it has to be Roy Moore. I can't do the write-in candidate now. I disagree with you. I think it's going to make a huge difference.
Do you really?
Yeah,
you
really
too?
Do.
All right, very good.
Yeah.
Listen,
I agree that it's not going to, if you're hardcore for or against, there's not a whole lot that's going to change it, but those people that are real close to being one way or the other, and it throws them back on the fence, and they're going to be trying to figure out which way to go.
You know,
those write-in ones, those who are going to do a write-in candidate. I don't know. There's no reason for them to do that now.
Yeah, I don't know if there are people in Alabama, and we're not in Alabama, obviously, but I don't know if there are people in Alabama that are on the fence. I mean, are there? I mean, it seems to me like there are there.
That's why they. I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why they are trying desperately to get a write-in candidate, because they were on the fence of they certainly couldn't vote for the other guy. They were on the fence. Should we believe him? We don't want to believe it.
Right.
So we got to do something else because there's too much controversy here. So I think so. Just in talking to some of my Alabama people.
All right. Very good.
That might be all of two.
All right. Very good. Thank you very much, Pamela. 12:50 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. It is the Dan Mandis Show. And I've got to tell you, coming up, we're going to talk about a number of different things, including, well, Phil Bredesen has reemerged. Going to talk about that at some point here before the show wraps up. And Matt Lauer, is he planning a comeback? I've got that story as well for you on Super Talk 99.7 WTN.
Roy Moore's accuser says she may have altered that yearbook. I've got details at 1 on WTN.
12:56 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN, 615-737-9986, 615-737-WWTN. Very quickly, let's say hello to Keith, who's been holding. Go ahead, Keith. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Dan. I just had a follow-up on the accuser and the revelations with her additions there on the yearbook.
Yep.
And I just wanted to kind of, you know, point back to what Pam was talking about yesterday and how this rule by mob mentality where you're guilty until proven innocent, and how, you know, social media has really amplified this to an off-the-cuff reaction. I mean, you can see it in, you know, just recent history here, even with sports, with the UT coaching search, how they, you know, turned around and hyper-focused on that one situation, whereas, you know, logically thinking, if you took a step back, you know, you could look at other examples where they weren't the right fit. But anyways, I just wanted to say, you know, it's, you know, to me, a really, you have to approach these things with caution, and just with our society today, it just seems to be more of a off-the-cuff and, you know, no actual thinking, and once you put it out there, then you drag a guy through the mud. And
right, and Keith, you're absolutely right. And one of the things that we know is that with social media, there's a number of things going on. One is it is reactionary. Two, there really is, except for a few examples, which we all know about, but except for a few examples, there really is no ramifications to folks who post or do things on social media. So, for example, if you're somebody who will either throw around baseless accusations, or if you're somebody who threatens on social media, if you're somebody who is saying untruths on social media, you don't really have to suffer any real ramifications or consequences. You are simply allowed to do it. And that's where the wild, wild west of social media comes in. Unfortunately, when you have such huge numbers, I mean, we're talking about thousands or even millions, folks, then you can't hold all those people accountable. So even though the things that they're saying may be wrong, the things that they may be saying in these tweet storms may be irrational and reactionary, they suffer no consequences or reactions to them themselves. So in other words, it's all just a big, how would you say it, a big old mess. Because you got all of these people accusing some people of bad things, then other people get accused. It's all a big mess. We'll talk about that more coming up on WTN.